warning of deeply concerning implications for press freedom, Daniel Gorman, director of English Pen, said the decision must be reviewed by the Supreme Court. He said, "The legal charges filed against Julian Assange contain activities that are central to the work of investigative journalists, and his extradition could therefore set a devastating precedent for journalists worldwide. We continue to call on U.S. authorities to drop these deeply problematic charges and call on the Home Secretary to block this extradition."
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين Dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته You are listening to IRIB English Radio Again, we are here to present with another episode of A Muslim Lady where we have been discussing so many important issues regarding Muslim lady. I'm Farman Ali Masumi, and with me in the studio, my wife, Razia Batul Najafi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm just thanking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to having this great opportunity. It's a biggest way of worshipping Allah. Thank you so much.
So, inshallah, today we are going to discuss about a very important and interesting topic, you know, which is the role of women in the viewpoint of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi. Yeah, you know, this great man, how much changes he has brought in our society, in Muslim society, and one of it is regarding our Muslim lady.
Yeah, the moment you said Imam Khomeini, everyone knows about his revolution about this country, Iran. But I usually say the revolution was from inside the human kind throughout the world. And especially he was a big blessing of Allah for us as a Muslim practicing ladies. Until now, I'm just thanking Allah that Allah has given me life, and my life was in this era, in this time, because the freedom, the respect, the rights, which as a Muslim lady, I myself have experienced because of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. I don't think so I would have that many blessings in other times.
Yeah, especially from the West, they were thinking that Islam does not care about the rights of women, yeah. Because of so many Muslim, so-called Muslim countries, because we, even nowadays, we see that no any right of Muslim ladies or our women is taken care of. So somehow he has given a very good practical answer to the criticism of, you know, Western societies.
Women in Imam Khomeini's idea.
God's mercy be upon these chaste bosoms that foster these lion-hearted youth. Imam Khomeini considers self-purification and knowledge as necessities by which women must adorn themselves with on account of their fostering role in the family. He believes that by bringing up spiritually refined children, both one's religion and worldly life will be safeguarded. And in addition, the prosperity of a nation is dependent upon the self-purification of its leaders. While giving a piece of advice to women, Imam Khomeini, he acknowledges that in raising children, they should not take their role lightly, because it is possible that the same single individual corrupts or reforms a society. He observes that a morally upright human being may educate an entire world, while a morally perverted or corrupt human being may pervert an entire world. Immorality and purity begin from your bosoms, from your training, and from the schools in which you are employed in.
Talking about Imam Khomeini's views regarding Muslim ladies, so I just wanted to mention a beautiful quotation from Imam Khomeini. He says that Islam has served female more than male.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
This is totally amazing. He says, look at the Jahiliyya, the ignorant era of the Arabs. You know how they would treat with female. Definitely our listeners know. So Imam Khomeini says, look at that time and look at the status of that time of women and look at the status of women after Islam. You can see the totally different roles and different importance is given to ladies. So while on the other hand, male's status is same, you know, before the Islam and after Islam, there is no any change. So how much Islam has served and he has given importance to females. Look after Islam, in the whole societies of Islam, you can see that how our imams, how the, you know, Holy Prophet would give importance to ladies, the role of female in our, you know, home, in our societies, in our different, you know, political roles. So from this, Imam Khomeini concludes that Islam has served females more than males. Which is, you know, I think he is right.
Yeah, because recently we were in Tanzania, and I have seen that in Tanzania, for example, women that still until now they don't have any rights in that sense, that men, the sustenance is duty of men, you know, according to Islam. Islam is putting so many restriction to men. I think before Islam, men were free. Men were maybe enjoying this world. worldly life, but Islam has come and made them a bit restricted, that this is your duty. You have to provide them, you have to take care of them, you have to, even spiritual training, there's a big role of the father. So until now, I have seen in so many African countries, there's
not
no...
Not only in Africa, in, you know, Middle East, in Eastern world.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like women get a child and this is her duty, you know, to provide the food and everything. It's not just a husband and the father's duty. So it's a big responsibility. You have to feed your child and you have to take care of them and you have to work and you have to, you know, run the house and everything. So much pressure I have seen there. But alhamdulillah, maybe sometimes we don't appreciate the way we are always having this beautiful light of Islam.
Imam Khomeini says that in the Arab Jahiliyyah, the ignorant era, they would totally neglect women, yeah, females. Whenever they will get the news of baby girl, they would, you know, feel very angry. They will feel so embarrassed. Yeah. So they were ignoring the females' rights by neglecting them. And nowadays, this modern and Western world, they are neglecting females' rights by focusing on their only, you know,
physical beauty.
Yeah. And using them as an element, as a showpiece or as an advertising element.
Exactly.
So Imam Khomeini says Islam has balanced between these two ideologies and Islam has given totally, you know, comfortable, we can say, rights which women can enjoy in our societies.
Means Islam is appreciating her beauty in that sense that she has rights to beautify herself in a very healthy environment. And then she has so many rights in the society. And also, not only having her is sawab and recommended by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but also we have so many ahadith that we have to pray that, Ya Allah, give us daughters, you know, as you have recited many times, beautiful ahadith about our Prophet, that how much he would appreciate that if you have three girls and you are a good father, straight away Jannat is just waiting for you. Easily,
yeah,
you can do dealing with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by brought up a few daughters. You know, that kind of dealing, that kind of beautiful protocol Islam is giving to the parents if they are having a baby girl. So we never had that kind of concept before.
Dear listeners, we will take a very short break. Inshallah, we'll come back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are talking about the role of women in the viewpoint of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah Ta'ala Ali. Look at the Islamic Republic of Iran, you know, where women are free. They can take part in the political, you know, issues, in their society issues. But no any other modern Muslim country has this much rights, you know. Look at the universities of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I think more than 75% students are female students. And there, you know, here we have more educated females male students. So which shows that Islam, this Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi, has provided them with a beautiful, real Islamic society,
the ideal Islamic society. I have given to him this title of, you know, champion, you know, the biggest champion of women's right. I think until now, maybe so, especially in this generation, our girls, Muslim ladies, they don't know the value and the status and the role and the big, big, like we can say, ihsanat and big favors of Imam Khomeini on us as a women. And until now, unfortunately, we don't talk internationally about him as a female rights fighter, the one who has given the real identity of Muslim women back to her after the time of Rasulullah. Because unfortunately, as far as we are going from the time of Rasulullah, because of this major occultation, people are just forgetting the Islamic values. But this great personality is bringing back, practically the way, because he was running the, and still alhamdulillah this revolution is there, and the government is there, the government itself is giving, out of our imagination, rights to women. Even we don't know many of them,
Definitely, when it comes to the all other Muslim societies, unfortunately, right now also we are lacking the institutes, the colleges for female students in the Islamic education, especially. Look at the other, our neighboring Muslim countries, even Shia, in the Shia world, other than Iran, we don't have any Islamic hawza for ladies, for females. Iran is the only country. I'm talking about the higher education, higher hawza. So this is the one of the blessings of the Islamic revolution of Iran. Alhamdulillah, the topic is so interesting, so we don't know that time has run out already. So until our next episode, I will say goodbye to our dear listeners.
Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female, and made us into nations and tribes, so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history, just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. O people, he who notices his own flaws will give up chasing others' flaws, and he who is satisfied with what Allah has endowed him will not be sad for what is in the hands of others. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up the Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's why the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at a first-of-its-kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit dubbed Let's Fly displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. Organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease.
The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives. And that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles released into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles. During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you will be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, scuba claws, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas, ho ho ho, come out in bubble through his snorkel over his white beards. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Butterflies are probably the most popular among all insect species on Earth due to their beauty and color. Millions of monarch butterflies have flocked to a Mexican forest, creating a magical sight, drawing tourists, scientists, and locals there. The monarch butterflies flee the cold winters of Canada and northern United States and travel thousands of kilometers to hibernate and reproduce in the temperate woods of central Mexico. Hundreds of trees crowded with butterflies can be seen along Mexico's 13,000-hectare monarch reserve after their long journey. However, experts warn of a drop in the number of the species. Climate change is reported to have had an impact on their butterflies' migration pattern, as well as a reduction in their milkweed breeding habitat in the United States.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
With the Christmas season in full swing, hundreds have gathered on Spain's Gran Canaria island to watch stunning sand sculptures representing the birth of Christ. 8 sand artists from around the world have created the spectacular figures. It took them a week to complete the scenes. A huge sand wall is built around the sculptures to protect them. The island has been holding the event every year since 2006. The warm temperatures on the Spanish beach have helped attract a lot of visitors over Christmas. According to the organizers, at least 200,000 people have visited the exhibition in the past 15 years. A joyful day at an Australian zoo as a baby pygmy hippo is born. That's good news for the zoo staff because pygmy hippos are endangered species. Cambiri, the mother hippo, gave birth to the calf last month. It's her second calf and the first one was born in a Sydney zoo 4 years ago. The newborn is yet to be named. It sticks to the mum and follows her wherever she goes. The calf is spending most of its time out of the sight of the public, as for now it's learning to walk and swim. And the mum keeps a close eye on the calf at all times.
The first few days, she did not leave the calf's side, was very sedate, very quiet, and just looking after its every need. And only in the last sort of couple of days has she started to get a little bit more sleep in.
They are regarded as endangered animals because of illegal hunting and loss of habitat. Currently, less than 3,000 pygmy hippos are living in the wild.
Is it interesting to experience what Harry Potter went through at Hogwarts? Well, it could be, at least for students at a university in Pakistan kicking off a festival celebrating the fictional wizard. The students at Government College University made their 150-year-old campus look like the magical school created by British author J.K. Rowling. They put on costumes and set up decorations reminiscent of Hogwarts. The university's vice chancellor says the campus, with its vast halls and soaring archways, has always reminded the students of the fictional school.
Most of these youngsters, they grew up at the time when J.K. Rowling's work was being presented in the novels and then later on in the film. So that magical charm, that fantasy, they really enjoyed. They grew up reading that fantasy. And then when they come to Government College University and see these architecture, it reminds me of that Hogwarts that is being filmed in Harry Potter films.
The university official spoke proudly of what his students have done. They were themselves happy too, calling their experience fun. Others said it was unbelievable to be in Hogwarts. The festival also screened Pakistan's first fan-made Harry Potter film made and acted by the students. The Swedish city of Stockholm has launched its 31st annual Christmas competition of baking gingerbread.
There is a limited in space, so it's 40 centimeters by 40 centimeters, and everything you build, all the material need to be eatable. So you can build with different things, gingerbread of course, but also candies and other things, but you need to be able to eat it. So that's one of the rules as well.
Each year, the Gingerbread House competition, hosted by ArcDesk Museum of Architecture and Design, has a theme for the designs. This year's theme is Together, attracting various interpretations of the topic. So far, the entries have included the Titanic, the famous coffee shop from the American TV show Friends, an igloo and the Berlin Wall, all entirely edible. The event, which has been running for 31 years, is designed for all kinds of creators, such as children, young people, adults, amateurs, and professionals. The Tasty exhibition runs until January the 5th. A Palestinian teacher has developed an assistant for himself nicknamed Mr. Robot, bringing joy to the children of a school in Gaza. Mr. Robot teaches the children of Al-Basma School about electric circuits and helps them memorize their lessons. Mr. Robot moves freely in the classroom, speaking Arabic to students and communicating with them as a friend. The teacher creating it says the aim was to stimulate creativity and innovation in his classroom.
Mr. Robot, as his name suggests, is the teacher's assistant and not his replacement. He assists in the education process by asking questions and giving answers, greeting students and interacting with them in all aspects of a class.
The teacher says at first students reacted to it in a strange way, but later on they said it was like a dream come true for them. Local engineers say the robot is the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip, where electrical tools and components are scarce.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about drug addiction and drug addiction in the view of Islam. So please be with us.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Thursday, is the 11th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic lunar calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic solar calendar, and the 16th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter 9 from the Holy Quran, verse 67.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ومن ثمرات النخيل والأعناب تتخذون منه سكرا ورزقا حسنا إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يعقلون.
And from the fruits of the palm trees and grapevines you take intoxicant and good provision. Indeed, in that is a sign for a people who reason.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Once Allah Himself is in action, there is always grace and blessings involved, namely rainwater and pure milk. But once man is involved, one finds that all times provisions are good, and at times the issue involved is intoxicating substances which are the source of devastation and corrupt. Therefore, following the discussion of the animals and their milk, this noble verse refers to a part of the merit of plants, implying that Allah provided you with a kind of blessed nutrition for you, which you sometimes turn into detrimental forms and use it in the form of intoxicating substance. There is an evident clue in it for those who ponder.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Actions to Modern Tools. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Narcotic drugs have been a problem for human communities for a long time. The problem has become even worse since its use has become broad and people can provide it manually and by industrial equipment. Regarding the depth of its teachings, Islam has focused its main attention on human and his or her well-being both in this and the other world. Islam has acknowledged and valued wisdom more than any other schools of thought and has never admitted inflicting harm on such a precious gold, including the harmful effects of the narcotic drugs that influences on the wisdom and psyche of humans. Therefore, Islam has seriously antagonized and prohibited this act, and it has been certainly known as a forbidden act by Islam. Furthermore, expanding, extending, and presenting the foundation of the prohibition of narcotic drugs can help authorities with the mission in campaigning against such an evil phenomenon. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the positive effects of religious teachings on abandoning addiction to drugs, it must be indicated that, for example, drinking wine is strictly forbidden in Islam. The reason is simply that, when someone drinks alcoholic drinks, this person loses his intellect and does or says something quite not expected from a rational being. And because of this, I mean, the punishment is, you know, and the punishment indicated in Islamic sources is because people are not expected to keep away from the rational character. Another one is that, I mean, those people who try to take refuge in being addicted to drugs, those destructive substances that are very harmful to body, to mind, and so on, all of them, should be reminded that in the Islamic teachings, nobody has any right, nobody has the least right to harm his body and his mind. This is because people are expected to act rationally, and this kind of behavior and this kind of attitude in order to being addicted to drugs and inebriating liquids, all of them harm people's intellectuality and the attitude to be rational. The Holy Quran says, there are some people who have other senses that other people have. This senses of seeing, hearing, and for example, sense of touch and so on. However, those people who don't make use of their own intellects, they are worse than animals, because animals have the same senses. In somewhat they may be much better than us. For example, in the sense of smelling, dogs are very powerful. Exceptionally powerful. Or for example, hawks and owls may be much better, and they are certainly much better. In the sense of sight and seeing, much better than us. Yet, the Holy Quran, compares those people who haven't trained themselves in such a way to behave rationally. The Holy Quran indicates that they are lower, they are worse than animals. Why? The reason is simply that they don't make use of their own intellect.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Addiction and life. Let's look at addiction and life. Addiction is due to humans neglecting their purpose of creation to worship Allah. By admitting their addiction, one comes to the realization that humans are dependent on many factors in their life. Children are dependent on their parents. This understanding leads one to the realization that their parents are also dependent on many things, including Allah. Coming to these realizations, one begins to feel that being dependent on substances and not Allah has caused their life to become unmanageable. Their addiction is due to their not having read and internalized the Quranic guidance related to intoxicants. The Quran mentions, "Prosperous are those who purify themselves, remember the name of their Lord, and pray." Chapter Al-A'la, chapter 85, verses 14 to 15. Sins are viewed as a fracturing of the self, the detachment of the human from its higher being. Once the self is detached from the spirit, it no longer takes pleasure from Allah and religion, but from artificial agents such as drugs, alcohol, and other illegal substances.
واشتد على العزيمة جوانه قف على خدمتك جوانه
نا Now we reach to tips for helping someone overcome drug addiction. Dear listeners, this is one tip. Avoid enabling behavior. Be honest about your own feelings, needs, and boundaries. And be honest about what you expect from and hope for your loved one. Enabling involves sheltering the addicted individual from the consequences of their substance abuse. It might seem like the right thing to pick up the pieces of their life, their finances, their daily needs, and their responsibilities, but the truth is that enabling delays recovery and the rest of their life. A professional interventionist or a treatment center can help you to understand the difference between enabling and supportive behavior.
A second reason why many individuals start falling in the drug problem and start doing drugs is because they have extra time on their hands. One of the biggest problems, today you ask many of the youth, many of the children, right away they'll tell you, I'm bored. I'm bored. You ask them, what are you doing? How are you? I'm bored. I'm bored. That's all they say. They're always bored. And this is a problem, my dear brothers and sisters. Maybe you say it once or twice, but if someone is constantly bored, meaning that they have nothing to do, they have extra free time, then that free time, that's a window of sin. You're going to fall. That's an opportunity of falling into haram and doing something wrong. Because shaitan comes to you when you're not busy, when you don't have anything, when you're working, when you're doing something productive. Shaitan's not going to come to you at that time. He's going to come to you when you have nothing, and that's when shaitan comes, during the times of khalawat, during the times of emptiness, when you have nothing on your mind. And this is why Amir al-Mu'mineen in Dua Kumail, he talks about that time. In Dua Kumail, he says, فَأَسْأَلُكَ بِعِزَّتِكَ أَنْ لَا يَحْجُبَ عَنْكَ دُعَائِي سُوءُ عَمَلِي وَفِعَالِي. He says, I ask you, Allah, by your glory, that my actions do not create an obstacle between my dua being accepted and you. وَلَا تَفْضَحْنِي بِخَفِيَّ مَطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سِرِّي وَلَا تُعَاجِلْنِي بِالْعُقُوبَةِ عَلَى مَا عَمِلْتُهُ فِي خَلَوَاتِي. He says, O Allah, don't hold me accountable and don't embarrass me and humiliate me. وَلَا تَفْضَحْنِي بِخَفِيَّ مَطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سِرِّي. Don't humiliate me in what I have done during my private times. وَلَا تُعَاجِلْنِي. And don't be quick to judge me for what I have done during my khalawat, during the empty times, during the time that I have nothing. من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. Because I have become captive of my desires.
We look at the addiction in the view of Islam in the program of today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic. Thank you very much for joining us till this time and till another chance to say salam. We leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Some might say this world today is shown. God's left us to our mistakes, so, and He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands suffer so, give no helping hand, no helping hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you and I. In every tear that is where he is now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.